Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out in the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Fresh off of the victory in Jericho, then, the children of Israel come to city number 2, Ai, or Ai, as it's said in the Hebrew. But I figured that if during the reading I said Ai over and over again, that would be too distracting. But it is indeed the city, stop number 2 in the conquest of the land. But they go there with some weakness in the camp, and hardly any of them know about it. Achan and perhaps his family that were present when he hid the stuff underneath his tent. And so off they go, and I don't know if you picked it up or not, but doesn't it sound like there's a little bit of presumption in the nation anyway? Sounds like there's a little bit of hubris there. Oh, we don't need everybody to go up. Just a few thousand. It's a small city. Don't worry about it. This one will fall just like that. So let's just send a few folks up. And so while Achan truly is the formal cause of their defeat, it seems that there was a lesson to be had all around. And so up they go to Ai, and the men of Ai come out and meet them and chase them away. And 36 men have died in the chasing away as Ai came out and fought against Israel. And so we have then this defeat, the second battle that they've entered into. Now, Sihon has fallen. Og has fallen. Jericho has fallen. And now there's this little city that nobody would be worried about. The great city of victory, Jericho, with its fortified walls, has fallen. The giant of giants, Og, he has fallen. It's just a little city, Ai, with a little teeny name and a little teeny wall and just a few folks in there. We don't need everybody. They're very few. You see, but the Lord is able to bring a victory or a defeat regardless of numbers. Numbers don't mean anything to him. Righteousness means everything to him. Holiness means everything to him. And so Israel had sinned, and they fled before their enemies. Now, we notice Joshua and the elders of Israel. And they fall down before the ark of the Lord from morning till night. All day long they spent weeping before the Lord. Joshua prayed. Joshua reminded the Lord of His great name, of His covenant people, and how they would be brought to danger now before the enemies of God and Israel. And the Lord says to him, up. Up. It is almost as if Joshua should have known why there was defeat that day. The Lord evinces not a discussion, but a command, almost sounding impatient with His servant. And the Lord sometimes expresses impatience, although He is indeed patient beyond our imagining. He sometimes expresses that to communicate something else to us. And perhaps Joshua should have known that it was not due to any lack of faithfulness in the Lord here, but it was due to the sin of Israel. And so the Lord says to him, up. Israel hath sinned, and this is why she cannot stand before her enemies. And so we have this procedure then through which Joshua is commanded to go. And so we come down to Achan. And so Joshua says to him, tell me, my son, what have you done? And so Achan confesses. It seems to me that he makes a full and a free confession of his sin. He opens all to Joshua. This is what I've done. When I saw this cloak of the Babylonians, probably embroidered with fine linens and even precious metals, perhaps even with jewels upon it. And I saw the shekels of silver and this gold wedge. I coveted. Notice that he goes right to the commandment. I coveted. Let's take a lesson from Achan here. When we confess our sins, my dear brothers and sisters, let us be clear on how we've sinned, rather than just some general, I've sinned, Lord. Yes, I have sinned. Achan says, I coveted. He went to the 10th commandment, didn't he? We might also go to the 2nd commandment, right? You say, the 2nd commandment? How do the Babylonian mantle and the shekels of silver and the wedge of gold relate to the 2nd commandment? Because God said, it's mine, it's chorma, it's dedicated to me. And he took it. He took that which belonged to God. So that is sacrilege, which is a violation of the 2nd commandment. And so, Joshua then, after hearing that full and free confession from Achan, uses a play on his name. You know what his name is? Achan. You know what Achan means? Trouble. That's what Achan means. It comes from the same root as the valley of Achor, which means the valley of troubling. And so Joshua says, hast thou troubled us? The Lord will trouble thee this day. And so we have what a lot of folks don't like to admit. We have a very severe judgment of the Lord here upon Achan, upon his family, upon his animals, upon his tent, upon all his stuff. Everything that polluted the nation will now be purged from the nation. And so they will be stoned and then burnt to ashes before the Lord. And that essentially makes up the narrative there, and the heap of stones is raised upon them as a remembrance. Now, we might have a few questions about the passage. First of all, what about Achan's eternal estate? Well, of course, there is no veil that's peeled back here so that we might know what Achan's eternal estate was. But he gave all the marks of being a true believer in Yahweh, in that although he had sinned, he freely and fully confessed his sin and, it seems, took his punishment. And there's no record of him having done anything but receiving that punishment. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, can I just tell you this? I know you know it, but let's see it here in Joshua chapter 7. There is a fate worse than dying. That would be dying without the Lord. That would be dying without faith. That would be dying without even knowing what it is to confess and forsake your sins. And so while we may say that this was a severe judgment upon Achan, and it was, we might also have hope for his soul that he died as a man calling upon the Lord. And indeed, that is better. So then, secondly, we have often said this, and we say it again. This is the first defeat. They are entering a new phase, a new era of the church here. And often at the beginning of eras in the church, God moves very severely in order to set the tone for the rest of that era that people would not do so foolishly. Now we see that over and again, don't we? We see it in Exodus, before the Ten Commandments are given, and the man is stoned for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. We see it here in Joshua chapter 7 at the entering into the land. We see it in the days of the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Ghost and being carried out of the church feet first. And so very often then, we see at the beginning of eras, periods of time, specific redemptive periods of time in Scripture, that the Lord moves very severely. And if He does not move so severely beyond that, everyone ought to be on notice that He can move that severely should He so choose, and that it is just and right for Him to do so. And let us also see the great utility of so doing. Because what happened, let's just pick up in Acts chapter 5 for a moment, what happened with Ananias and Sapphira when they were carried out that way? What does the Bible say? Great fear fell upon the rest. We're not going to do that. We know what the end of that is. And even if we do it and the Lord doesn't move in that same way, we know that He could. And punishments, believe it or not, parents, they are a deterrent. Believe it or not, civil magistrate, punishments are a deterrent. The Lord has laid this out in Scripture, that punishments do indeed deter further wrongdoing. And so the final thing that I would like to set forth here with regard to example is the example of Joshua and the elders. Because while they did not know exactly what was going on, they knew what they ought to be doing about it. That they ought to come before the Lord, they ought to mourn, they ought to weep, and they ought to entreat the Lord's favor when the Lord had clearly been disfavorable toward them. Oh, and one more thing. I would be remiss if I did not mention this. Do you know, do you hear, and do you see with great importance the covenantal nature of the community here, such that based on the sins of one man, 36 people die, and the entire nation itself is brought to its knees before the Lord because covenantally one of their number committed sacrilege and coveted. Let us remember then that when we sin, our dear brethren, my dear brethren, my dear brothers and sisters, beloved, when we sin, we harm not only ourselves, we harm our fellow Christians in our family, in our church. We bring the Lord's displeasure, and sometimes that displeasure of the Lord goes much farther than simply ourselves. And the consequences of our evil, of our wrongdoing, of our wickedness, is often played out before our eyes upon our loved ones. We must not miss that lesson from Joshua chapter 7. And let that be then a greater motivation to us always to live before the Lord as Zechariah said, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Thus ends the reading of Joshua chapter 7. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms, Psalm 116.